So we're learning about the light of Shabbos, and hopefully going to connect to the light of Shabbos. That's Hashem. So it's well known Havdalah is until Tuesday. You can say Havdalah until Tuesday. That's well known.
Now, is that with...
No besame, no ace, just a cup of wine. You say the blessing on the wine and that last blessing. You can say it until Tuesday. It works. There's even a question whether Yom Tov works the same way. It's not clear. But the Kibbe Eger says, not sure. Don't know. He said, I don't know. Huh? Not Tuesday, but maybe 3 days later. Maybe this is a 3 day kind of, like, it emanates somehow. Shabbos emanates 3 days later. We'll see. So maybe Yom Tov too. The Orphan Yom Tov. He's like, I don't know. Sarachim, not sure. So it's not clear. He said, every person has extra nefesh, ruach, and neshama on Shabbos. Every person. So, you meet people, I've met people, a lot of people, and they say, why don't I feel my neshama you say on Shabbos? I'm supposed to have this extra neshama. Where is it? So Rav Nachman said, you generate this neshama. It's really from the Gemara, really. But Rav Nachman brings this Gemara and emphasizes it very strong and explains it. He says, you generate your neshama by yearning for it. By yinafash, by avda nafash. I'm yearning, I'm longing, so then I generate it. You have it anyway, but to feel it is a different matter. If you don't focus, you can't feel. That's why the Zohar says, Kedusha needs hazmana. If you want to get any kind of level of holiness, you have to prepare yourself. If I'm not prepared, I can't get holiness. I don't prepare. I'm not open to it. I can't get it. That's why sometimes, even if I'm being very, very careful with the minutia of the halacha, the details, working so hard on the details, I lose sight of the big picture. I don't know what I'm. I don't.
Then how do you prepare?
Besides this, what it is,
we can learn about it. That's one big way to prepare. You learn about it. It's a very. That's why I always do. Weintraub is a beautiful thing. Very powerful. He says, when you learn about something, he talks about Yom Tov especially, but Shabbos is the same thing. When you spend an hour a day, he says, learning about Yom Tov, and presumably Shabbos too, he said, when the time comes, you spontaneously get ignited, and you feel the light of Shabbos, you feel the light of Yom Tov. That's what we're trying for. That's the goal. The goal is to get to this place where we're just going to come to Shabbos and be totally inspired and alive. That's what we're trying for. All right. We have no idea the koach, what a Shabbos is. We don't begin to understand. Maybe we'll see a little something. So he says, you have until Tuesday. He said, because every person has nefesh, ruach, neshama, which is added. We have all these three components which are added. You have to have in mind, you have to focus that it should stay with you. Okay, so where was that? Sorry, I lost track. So, right, you people that say, I don't have any connection to this, maybe I have neshama seira, maybe I don't, but I don't feel it at all. What is Shabbos? Like, I don't feel anything. I don't know. I'm sorry, I wish I did. I don't feel. I just don't feel. So, first of all, that doesn't really show anything, the feeling. Feeling doesn't show anything. The Zohar from yesterday, Baruch Hashem, I started learning a little bit of Zohar again. Zohar from yesterday explained a beautiful thing that says that when you have a tree and you light a fire, the tree, you know, it's not taking. So you gotta bang it. Bang it, and it's able to take the fire. Sometimes you move it, also can take the fire, and you bang it. So the Zohar is a beautiful thing. It says, you know, when a person is suffering, so a person suffers, sometimes a person needs to suffer just to wake him up. He needs the suffering to sweeten things, to make things easier for him. That's why I need to suffer. So, but there's two different ways of taking suffering. So we can take suffering by starting to turn to Hashem. It's literally Mamshkin Zohar. So you start to pray. You praise Hashem. You thank Him. You beseech Him. You pray, help me out here. I don't know what to do. I need your help. It's so hard. And sometimes you do better. Sometimes you do worse. And you try your best. You ask for help. And Hashem helps you. Whatever, as much as you ask for. So that's called suffering. That's good suffering. Sweet suffering. This brings a person, like the tree, bangs to take in the light. And the person starts to shine. He starts to go and he starts to feel something so deep. He almost, as one Rebbetzin put it so well, she said, the daughter of the Tzitzis of Yeshiva, she said, I wouldn't buy them for a penny, but I wouldn't sell them for $1 million. This is very hard to withstand, and who knows if you'll make it or not, but when you have them, you've got a big, big, big gift. So, here a person is, and on the one hand, that's called the sweet suffering, good suffering. There's also the not so good suffering. So the other side also makes the person suffer. So when the person puts the other side, he's suffering. So what that means is, he starts also to have a reaction. He starts to curse, he starts to complain, he starts to gripe, he starts to feel bitter. That's from the wrong side of the track. We'd like to avoid that as much as possible. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. And sometimes we sort of make it a little. We make it a little. We do our best, and you have maybe a little complaint, and then you turn to Hashem again, and you keep trying, and you keep trying, and you keep yearning. And sometimes the success is just, you know, could be a lot worse. At least I don't want to make a fight here. I'm not going to fight. This person didn't act properly. They made a mistake. They didn't. I can't believe, you know, just try it to them. And at least I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to do my best to get through it. And everyone, according to where he told me how much he was hurt and how to deal with it. And we try. We do our best. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Zohar, that's really in the Zohar. So we need to be receptive to the light of Shabbos. Being receptive to the light of Shabbos is something which we need to yearn for. We need to think about it. We need to focus on it. That's part of what we're learning about what Shabbos is. So we'll be able to think about what is a Shabbos? What Shabbos? You know, Friday we're supposed to be doing tshuva. We're supposed to really just turn to Hashem. Hashem, please bring me close to you. Friday. The Eli Rabba, one of the halachic codifiers, says something very beautiful. He says, you know, the Zohar says, the Gemara says, the person, you're giving testimony. Kiddush, God made the world. That's what Kiddush is. So, does anybody know who's not qualified to give testimony? Can't be a wicked person to give testimony. Can't be a ganav to give testimony. We minor. Don't believe you. A minor also. But
someone who's not mentally competent.
Yes, that's also true.
A relative.
That's also true. Absolutely. That's another one. That's another opinion. But there's a whole bunch. But I meant the first one. You're right. There's a lot of different ones. Some of them we understand why. Some of them we don't. They're just metaphysical. We don't get why. But either way, however you look at it, I mean, Kabbalistically we can explain why, but we also don't understand. We can just say, well, it's this and this and this and this and this, and it can be very satisfying and beautiful, but again, we're like, okay, but why? I don't really know why. This is the way Hashem made the world. That's basically the bottom line. And it's very beautiful, though. You see, this it fits in a perfect construct, how it is and why it is, but it's metaphysical. Like, this is the way Hashem wants it. So, a person who's a wicked person or a person who's a thief, he can't pay testimony. So you can't testify, so you have to do tshuva. You have to change. I have to change myself. If I'm coming to Erev Shabbos, you know, I look back at the week and say, my goodness, you know, the Yitzhar really stole me. I messed up a lot. I made some big mistakes. My brachos are not the way they should be. I'm in a certain level stealing from Hashem. I have to be focused. I have to focus and pick up the sparks the way I should. If not, what am I doing? Rebbeinu Shlomo, Master Lord, what am I doing? So what happened? He's a goddess. He said, well, you can't. Your testimony is sort of invalid. It's not, you can't really make it the way it should be. It's something missing in the testimony. It's not complete. It's, of course, it's good. Don't say, oh, I'm this, I'm not doing Kiddush. You say Kiddush anyway. But you want to do it right. You got to be on level. Of course, certainly a Russia person who looks at himself and says, my goodness, you know, I got a lot to change. At least do tshuva, at least try to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change. So that's a great deal of that's what Friday is supposed to be for us. That's Friday. Unfortunately, Friday is, for many people, the Noam HaMelech, the Kamana says, he says, you know, every day needs darkness. Every day needs darkness. It needs darkness. There's night and day. First starts night and day. So what about Shabbos? Shabbos, we don't say good night. We say good Shabbos because there is no night. Where's the darkness? Because that's easy. Erev Shabbos is the darkness. Friday, it's, you know, trying to repair and running and going crazy and trying to get things together. That's the darkness. He said, if you're going to ask me, but the Rebbe of Melech, the Noam HaMelech, he said something that seems to apply the opposite. He said, on Friday I have a special level of Dvekut, and Dvekut is connected in a totally different way, and from that I know how my Shabbos is going to go. This is new, sounds like Friday is a pretty awesome day. He said, that's just the Rebbe of Melech. The rest of us, Friday we just can't get it together. But we don't even understand what it means, Shabbos, what Shabbos is. The Nassim writes his son, he says, you know, every step, when you're going to buy for Shabbos, for example, he says, you're buying flour, you're buying meat, you're creating another angel. He said, it says in the Gemara that Hashem says, I have a gift in my treasure house called Shabbos. And tell the Jewish people, She said, why is he doing that? Why? So Nestor writes in the letter, because you're supposed to yearn for it. You want to get the gift. We want to get the gift. The gift is the Neshama Yisera. To feel the Neshama Yisera. I want to get it. I want to feel it. We have no idea, even without knowing, we don't understand what we're doing in Shabbos. The Beis Aharon of Karlin, he once came to a town with the students, and he's looking at the Jewish quarter where there's, you know, all these fireplaces and going up the chimney. All the chimneys going up from the ovens. Where people are cooking, and the women are cooking for Shabbos. And he said, can you see the angels coming out from these chimneys? Angels, every single angels. Nothing. He said, you know, the people who are preparing for Shabbos, these women who are preparing for Shabbos, especially they're spending their time in the kitchen and they're cooking up things, he said, they really ought to, by the end of the day, have Ruach HaKodesh. They should be on a totally different level, just from what they're doing. He said, but the Yetzer Hara comes and makes fighting and argumentativeness, and that messes things up. He said, but generally speaking, if she's connected, she's trying, she can go who knows where. Who knows where? We have no idea. No idea, no idea. That's also was yesterday's Zohar, where the different places in Gan Eden. I'm like, what happens? Very, very beautiful, beautiful, unbelievable things. Learn about the time of the deep reasons behind the mitzvahs. It's a very great bliss. You praise Hashem, different heichalos, different, very, very beautiful. This heichal is the heichal of, who was it? Bat Yo Bas Taro. This heichal is the heichal of Serach Bas Osher. And then because the heichal of Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the heichal of Dvorah Neviah. And heichal the Imos. All these beautiful places where the righteous women are and what they're doing. Very, very, very beautiful, very special. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. Oh. So, the answer is, why don't I feel the aura of Shabbos? Sometimes better, sometimes worse, because, you know, I'm not open to it. I'm totally not open to it. That's why. I'm not open to it. I'm not there. I'm not connected the way I ought to be connected. Tshuva, kitzur. We should be doing tshuva. That's what Friday is. That's our job on Friday. We don't even know. We're cleaning the house. We're supposed to be cleaning ourselves while we clean our house. That's what the Ramak says. All this fun. We're supposed to be purifying ourselves. And we're, you know, did I get all the dust? Did I just wonder? That's not what it's supposed to be. Purifying myself. Where am I? Where is Shlomo? Yeah, and that's why Friday, like you said yesterday, is machshava. What's the machshava? Tshuva. How are you doing tshuva? Bnei Shalom, help me do tshuva. Prepare for Shabbos. Be a proper, suitable vessel to take in the light of Shabbos. I want to have a Shabbos. Okay. Unbelievable. What the Nassim, the Rebbe, the Nassim explains about Shabbos, the person just like stops. Get this tremendous mental tranquility, no more worries, no more confusion, just relax, just be in Hashem. It's unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful Torah about it. So he says, okay, that's for Shabbos, you get these three components. And on Shabbos, we need to have them in mind. So now the question is, what if my Shabbos, I don't know, it wasn't the greatest Shabbos, or even talk to someone who says, I kind of trashed the Shabbos. I don't know what happened. I just slept like the whole day. I sort of went to shul. I sort of ate. Maybe I sang a little. Maybe I said a little bit of the Dvar Torah, but it wasn't my best Shabbos. What do I do now? So, Shlomka's Villa, I believe, he said, you know, when you're not treating Shabbos properly, you need to make it up to Shabbos through Malach Malka. Make a really good Malach Malka and sing. It's never too late. So here also for us, you know, if we didn't mess, we messed up, who knows, whatever it was. Today, this Shabbos never was and never will be. The base Avram of Slonim, always, every Shabbos, they saw on him such a light, illumination, such he just looked totally different. And he didn't feel like it's another Shabbos. It's the only Shabbos ever. Ever. The only Shabbos ever. Never was a Shabbos and never will be a Shabbos. Just this. That's it. So then when I feel that, when I know that, that's a different, it's a different, different aura. Totally different, different experience. So now we have this opportunity to try to yearn for the light of Shabbos. I want to yearn for the light of Shabbos. Today is Thursday. Thursday we'll see is Ruach. That's speech. I'm supposed to be learning a lot of Torah. Talking a lot to Hashem, too. Just trying to connect to the light of Shabbos. Not to do things that will keep me out of the light of Shabbos. I have to get into the light of Shabbos. I'm thinking times a person we don't even notice. Especially when dealing with other people. The Gro brings, I think from the Zohar, I believe. The Gro brings that he says, when a person has to go to Gehenna, so he said, generally speaking, he finishes and he leaves. So, but there is a certain category of misdemeanors, of spiritual failures, that you can't leave until the tzaddik takes you out. The Gemara goes, he says, that's called mitzvos bein adam lechaveiro. When you hurt someone else, insulted someone else, you can't get, you gotta be sprang from Gehenna. You can't get out yourself. So between you and Hashem, you have problems, but you get to leave. Otherwise, you need a schut. You need to find a way out. So that's also the Zohar tells of a certain neshama that was going to the gates, going to Gan Eden. And Gan Eden, you know, there's the guardians of Gan Eden. You can't always get in. Even if you have a pass, sometimes you can't get in. That's part of the ticket. So this guy comes to the gates of Gan Eden, and the crewmen don't let him in. They say, you can't come in. No, don't get to come in. And he's screaming, why not? I did everything right. And all the tzaddikim are coming, and they're checking about what's going on, what happened. So they work out what he did. He did one very big mistake. What did he do? He had a friend who didn't know so well how to learn. This guy doesn't know what I know. And listen, he doesn't know what I know. And I went, maybe he should have, let's say, but it's not clear as though why, maybe he should have worked harder to know. There was a certain passage that he was going to flood. He didn't really know well. So this person told everyone, don't save him. Let him figure out himself. Let him just stumble over it. And he started trying to explain it. No one helped him. And he was embarrassed. So that's it. You can't come in here now. 40 days. Have to wait outside Gan Eden and not come in. Then he did nothing. It sounds like he did nothing else wrong. So then you have 1.5 hours in Gehenna, and then you get to come into Gan Eden. So sometimes there are things we do which it doesn't let us in. It holds us back. The Chofetz Chaim actually said not keeping Shabbos is a big holder back, like hold a person back. We can't even begin to understand. He says it's like a person you want to eat healthy, so you should be well. I want to eat healthy to be well. So I'm eating organic. Maybe I'm a vegetarian if it's good for me, whatever. I'm doing all these things. I'm maybe taking vitamins, whatever different shit, just juicing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm exercising. I'm doing everything right. And I take a pill of, it's not necessarily lethal poison, but maybe it's close. I get very, very ill, chas v'shalom, right? So it's, the person can't complain and say, I don't understand. I did everything right. I just took one little pill. I mean, you can't take poison and assume it's not going to have an effect just because you're doing lots of things that are right. The Chofetz Chaim said not keeping Shabbos is like that poison pill. Listen, spiritually, it really, really destroys a lot. But that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the biggest, biggest gift possible. It's like our flag. If Shabbos saves our flag. Any place that kept Shabbos, the Jewish continuity was assured. The first thing when there's no Jewish continuity was Shabbos goes away. Jettison Shabbos. That's the first thing. Okay. So you have to have this in mind to hold on to this during the week. And this is the passage again. I'm reading again. I just can't believe. How could I forget this? It's unbelievable. It's like I was saying, how would I forget? This is something which should be unforgettable. And yet, I don't know how long it's been. So he says, if you have this in mind, the way he's going to tell us now, he said, you definitely, definitely will not sin, and the other side will not be able to accuse at all. I mean, that should really...
I'm sorry, the other side.
The other side, the wrong side of the fence will not be able to say one accusing word. Because every second of your day is connected to the light of Shabbos. 7 days a week. But, so how do I forget this? I have no idea. He said, and that everything depends on this kavanah, and it's impossible otherwise. That's what he says. And of course, what that means, though, is being connected to Hashem, however you do it. that's for sure. But this is a very powerful way of trying to shut up our accusers and keep ascending without losing track of Hashem, thanks to Hashem, which is Shabbos. That's thanks to Hashem. That's Emunah. Shabbos Emunah. The Chofetz Chaim says, Shabbos, every thought, every action, every word is monitored. So there's no other mitzvah like that. You can't do anything. Don't think that. Don't do that. Don't say that. It's like a lot. It's because it's living with Hashem always. Like what's living next world. It's all the moon. It's all from Hashem. I'm always with Hashem. So it's a Sefer Shabbos. You have four sections. The Neshama goes away immediately after Shabbos. That's the highest level. Then we have Bechina, which is the first day, Sunday, is Neshama is going away. So you have to have a mind. Hold on to Neshama. Do Neshama things. Thought. Neshama is the aspect of Bina, which is Tshuva. We have to do a serious thinking on Sunday. The Sfasema says, during your third meal, you're supposed to try to take on a little something for the next week. Plan your week and say, how can I improve my week? How can I have a little bit better? Take another step to you. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? How can I act the way I'm supposed to act and be the way I'm supposed to be a little bit more this week? That's Sunday. It's just, and that's supposed to continue throughout Sunday. That's what Sunday is. Sunday is thinking about bringing Hashem into my life.
But if you do that, the Yetzer is right there too.
Of course.
And he's going to say, oh, you want to do that now? Well, I know. And you're bringing the Yetzer Hara into your life.
Of course. Of course you are. No, you're right. But the thing here is, if I can hold on to Hashem, it's not such a problem. I'll put it this way. The Kotzke Rebbe told the Chiddush Harim, he said, I'm going to give you a syllabus of what to do in the day. And he really filled up his day. And he said, not only do I want you not to sin, I don't want you to have time to think about sinning. Sometimes when you're really able to focus, when we're really able to focus on what Shabbos is, and we get excited about what Shabbos is, we really feel it inside, deep down, we're really yearning for Shabbos. Here, Thursday, you know, I'm going to, right now, yearn for Shabbos. So there's no way to her, what are you talking about? And it's like, it's nothing. That's what we're trying for. And of course, there are many pitfalls. You can mess up everything. It's possible to ruin everything. Then the person will say, oh, I'm so holy, here, I'm thinking about Shabbos. How can you treat me that way? I'm thinking about you. You can do anything and mess it up. But really, it's a powerful way of trying to connect and let go of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, a lot of the Yetzer Hara is selfishness. That's one of the Yesodos of the Sulam. He says, there is a situation where a person, he's supposed to, the custom is to get married, the man gives his wife a ring, right? And that sets her aside, makes them one, let's say, right? That's very, very short what marriage is. There's a lot more, but very, very short. She set aside, he set aside, they're bonded. They're bonded so much that the Zohar says, even if the husband dies, there's still some bond. It doesn't just go away. That's Yibum, and that's even if there is no brother, there's children, there's a bond there. It's not simple. It doesn't just go away. Get or, it's not so simple. Even then, there's a powerful bond happening. So what happens if the man is a very important person? And the woman says, you know, I want to give you a gift. And giving you a gift is like I'm receiving it. For me, it's very important that you take this from me. It's a big honor for me. So that can work too. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything? So the Sulam says, that's how we're supposed to receive from Hashem. We're supposed to receive from Hashem with the express purpose of giving. I want to take connection, I want to take understanding to give and help other people with it, not just to keep it to myself or I don't know what, to feel big about it or something. So that's basically a very important concept in how to take whatever I'm taking and use it right, not misuse it. Say, I'm just doing this in order to, maybe I'll bring the light of Shabbos into the world, maybe I'll help people with the light of Shabbos, maybe I can do that. You know, there's a famous story that we'll learn, that's why we're doing Shabbos, because it was Tzvias Omer, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah also, it's longish, so before the holiday, it's not necessarily easy to finish it. But here, Shabbos, we'll just go through it, we'll go, as long as it's quick or slow as it is, it doesn't matter, we're not in a rush. But we'll see in Shabbos, the davening, you really are going up, up, another world, and another world, and another world, and another world. You're just going places. You're going high places. You just keep on ascending and ascending to different planes. Unbelievable. So, the cutting to Magid's wife, they both together didn't have any money for candles. They just were out. And she's trying to find money. Their store's open. It's right before Shabbos. This guy's not religious. He's riding his coach to wherever he's going, not a great place. And stops for this lady. She's crying. What's the matter? She says, I need a few pennies for Shabbos. Candles. So, okay, here you go. There's nothing, no problem. So she gave him a bracha. She said, Hashem, she gives you the light of Shabbos. You should experience the light of Shabbos. Okay, thanks, bye. She's riding. And he goes to, I don't know, cards or who knows what he was up to and doesn't try any, not the greatest stuff. And suddenly he feels such an awe. He just bowled over. He says, that lady gave me that. She said, I should feel the light of Shabbos. Maybe that's what this is. I got to get back there. What is this? That's all we want. We want to have the awe of Shabbos. We want to feel something very deep on Shabbos. We want to be able to know when Shabbos is. The Baal Tanya knew every instant when it was. He was in prison. Whenever they came, he knew the exact time. He would say, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. He knew the exact time because of the way the name of Hashem shined in that instant. So he knows it's Sunday because Sunday is thought. A thought of holding on to the aspect of thought I got from Shabbos. And Friday is also thought, but it's thought of yearning to generate the aspect of thought for Shabbos. And then you have the same Avaya shining, but he knew how to connect. He felt this every second. When I feel this every second, I'm okay. We're trying, we're yearning for it. We have to try to focus on it. And so today's Ruach, for example. Today's Thursday, so we have Monday and Thursday. Monday's Ruach, holding on to the Ruach for Shabbat, from Shabbos, and Thursday is yearning for the Ruach of the next Shabbos. So that's, I have to be learning a lot. I have to be using speech to serve Hashem. That's the spirit. I have to use the breath. That's what Ruach is. And then you have Nefesh. Nefesh is Tuesday and Wednesday. That's what Nefesh is. So Nefesh is action, doing things, especially doing, you know, if you wanted to clean up, yesterday was a good time, whatever, you want for, to help a friend, it's especially a great time. Of course, we have to remember Shabbos also, but mice, that's a special mitzvah. But the character of our day should be molded. We're trying to mold it in this pattern, in this way, yearning. Pure employment, it's like unbelievable. It's how easy it is to forget. The Gemara says that acquiring Torah is like getting golden vessels, and losing is like breaking a cheap glass. So easy. Goodbye. It's just, you know, so easy. So we want to get the Neshama on Sunday. We want to get the Ruach on Monday, and get the Nefesh on Tuesday. And we want to prepare for the Nefesh on Wednesday, prepare for the Ruach on Thursday, and prepare for the Neshama on Friday. So today's a big, big day for Torah, learning whatever we can, and trying to fix Ruach. Ruach is a very big thing to try to fix.
Do we put all this off for Shiva?
Shiva is something totally
Shabbos
different.
Then we come back to Shiva, so these things are able to put off.
Okay, that is a phenomenal question. Phenomenal question. And we could ask it a little differently and say, you know, Shabbos is very strange. On the one hand, one doesn't chas v'shalom. A person doesn't keep Shiva publicly, but privately he does. I mean, is it off or not? If it's Pesach, Shiva is goodbye and good riddance. Shabbos doesn't work that way. It's not goodbye and good riddance. Fine. So why isn't it just, if it stops, it just stops all the way, no? If it doesn't, so it shouldn't stop. Like, which is it? So the Rizal said, it's not clear whether or not Shabbos really stops it, or only seems to stop it. So we can't do public. Public you can, but it's not clear enough to private. So if you get, it sounds like maybe if you get to a certain level, maybe it does. It's not so simple. But that's what he says. He says, I don't know if I get this, we'll see it here, actually. We'll see it here. Mishnah's Hasidim, for sure. I think he also think so. He talks about it by what one says, l'chadodi, when they come back, I guess. I think he talks about it even here. We'll see. I think so. But anyway, that's it's not from Shabbos. This thing of should I or shouldn't I? Is there or isn't there? What is avelus? Avelus is something. It's its own topic. There are seven levels. There are seven levels that have to return. And those seven levels return, as those seven levels are returning, it can be difficult, and that's the understatement of the, I don't know, the millennia or something. Difficult is the wrong word. It can be very, I don't know what one would say, it's hard. And harsh for the neshama, for the person left the world, because in order for them to shed this, to lose this maki, whatever you want to call it, this light, is to go to the grave and come back to the house and go back and forth and believe that back and forth and back and forth. So what? What's the word? What makes this much easier is if he's still in the world. If he's not in the world. So then, he's divesting himself from the world, the spiritual, and he's in pain. But if he's still here, it's easier. So if there are especially people, especially children, his children, it's like he's literally still here. Even if not, if he's people who are close, and the closest also there's a part that's close. So some children, there's part of his nefesh in the child, the father, mother, in the child. Whatever he or she does for good and for bad is. Hands, for sure. So, a child, for sure, it's in a certain way, he's here still. So it makes it much easier. He has to divest, but it's also, he's still here. And he's still here, and the people, they're missing him. They're trying to apply, like, he's gone, what do we do now? What do we learn from him? The Gemara says, if anybody... You can say about this person, you can learn from them, that's already a level. It's already something very great. It's not so... And it doesn't mean that he was necessarily religious or not religious. He had some good qualities you could really learn from him, that's very great. So, when these 7 days are their own... It's their own thing of what's going on. It's their own... That's why people that think Shiva's just a bother. Shiva's a way of helping the neshama of the person who... passed away. As a matter of fact, Tosus learns that you don't have to do it if the parent or the relative said, don't bother. Because it's for him. Not everyone agrees. It could be also for the people who were sitting. But it's so much for the neshama, it could be he could even just like give up on it. It's saving than helping the neshama. That was a clear, good. That's a show. That's part of why it's a mitzvah every day, the Sifri that he brings, Rabban brings it as well, to say today is the first day one of Shabbos, Yom Mishum Shabbos. We always mention Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Why? We mention Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos because you're bringing in the light of Shabbos each day. I need to connect the light of Shabbos, either hold on to what went, or prepare for what's going to be. So this is where we got until yesterday, more or less. We'll continue now. This is Now it's time to learn about Thursday night. Thursday night has its own special kavanah. Special intention we're supposed to have, focus we're supposed to have on Thursday night. First of all, a person takes the world of action, brings it up to the world of formation. Asiyah to Yitzirah. Asiyah to Yitzirah. What that means is I want to imbue my actions with kavana, with connection, with not just actions, it should be alive, it should be vital, emotional, enthusiastic, connected. Then you take formation to Bria. That's the next level when a person not only is connected, but his heart is so on fire, he wants to do tshuva, he wants to change, he wants to be someone else, he wants to get somewhere else, just has changed direction. He does this one mitzvah, it changes his whole life. You know, that's why in tefillin, there's a whole dispute about tefillin, whether or not, you know, you put on tefillin, someone says, I don't want to put on tefillin, so it doesn't have any meaning. There's a whole question. There's no question about it. So Rechon Basim said, no, if he says he doesn't believe, there's no meaning to put on tefillin on someone's arm if he doesn't believe. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he says, I don't understand the reasoning, because, after all, if the guy's already putting on the tefillin, he's thinking to himself, okay, I don't believe in this, but maybe they're right. If they're right, once I'm already putting it on, then it should work. That's the normal, the human mind. The guy's, he's not thinking anti, I don't want this to work. He's thinking, I don't think this works, but if it works, then it should work. That's what he's thinking. It's this story, family story of Shmuel Hovener. He went to Eilat to try to mekar people. And in the 30s, 1930s. And Eilat was a very wild place. Israel was pretty, higher level than Eilat. Eilat was really way out. And so he comes to houses. One of the things they did was they put on tefillin on people. So knock on the door, oh, hello, thank you for coming, Rabbi. It's so nice. A culture, you bring Jewish culture to our community. Oh, very good. So would you like to put on tefillin? No. I'm a communist and I don't believe in any of these mitzvot stuff. So why would I put on tefillin? It seems to be a waste of my time and your time. Thank you so much. Good day. So before he could close the door or sort of throw them out, he said, a Jew is not allowed to say he doesn't believe. Not allowed to say such a thing. Of course you believe. Deep down you believe. You have a woman. It was tainted. It was polluted by all these things people told you that weren't true, but of course you have a woman. So I think you really should put on tefillin. Hashem tells in the Torah, put on tefillin. I really, it's a special thing. You should really experience this. He said, no, it's very nice of you. I appreciate the thought, but like I just said, I don't believe in any of this stuff, so I don't see the point of putting boxes on myself. I have other things to do. I said, she was not a saint, I don't believe. And sure, they kept going on and on. Like by the 30th or 40th time, this guy, Ivan, whatever name, he said, Rabbi, I'm getting a headache. You want to put the boxes on? Put them on. Which arm? No problem, put them on. Oh, great. So he puts them on. I said, okay, now you're going to say the blessing. Baruch atah. He said, oh no, I don't say a blessing because I'm a communist. I don't believe in any of this stuff. So these blessings, it's just not, I never said them and I don't say them. Really do that. Jew is not. It starts again. So they're going on and on. Finally, he said, you know what, Rabbi? I'll say the blessing. You know the blessing? I'll say the blessing. What do I care? Say the blessing. Okay. Next day, he comes into the grocery like usual. And the grocery, it sold strictly kosher food and also strictly non kosher food, unfortunately. They had the both types. And this guy, he really liked his bacon and eggs every morning. That was his favorite breakfast. And the grocer, he said, so Ivan, I got your bacon. Got your white basar levan, we call it in Israel, the white flesh. He said, I don't eat that anymore. I put on tefillin yesterday. I will not eat ham anymore. I will not eat ham. What happened? That's what Shlomo Zalman said. He said, yeah, he's saying this the whole time. But he's not saying, I don't want to get anything out of this. He said, I think it's a worthless endeavor, but if it works, let it work, why not? And then it works. That's the, it can work. That's the I think so. Sometimes a person, if I do something, I can change everything. That's what we. So we have this bechino. I'm trying to pick up. I want to pick things up. I want to pick up a world from Asiya to Yitzira. I want to pick up Yitzira to Bria. Bria to Atzilus. Each one is its own level. So there's a bechino of a person doing tshuva. I have a bechina action. Action is to go to a kavana. Then I want to go not only kavana. I want to do tshuva, like that's a bria. That was the purpose of the story. Right? I want to, like this guy Ivan, I want something to change for me. That doesn't mean I'm going to, I don't know, flip out or grow wings or something. It just means I'm gonna take the next step. Do something. Try to connect to Hashem in another way, another meaningful way, whatever way I can. Fine. So that's the bechina of the... That's... Yitzira to Bria. Then we have Bria to Atzilus. That's when a person is only with Hashem. That's when just with Hashem. So this is all we're supposed to be thinking about Thursday night. This is Thursday night, preparing for Shabbos when we get to this place where we're only with Hashem. So the first thing is, it's unbelievable. Who was it? I think the bells are ready. I don't remember. He says, you know, we say Abracha Kiddush. I think it's Nassim. It comes out of the Nassim Vitalachis for sure also, and maybe only. He says, when you say Mekadosh Shabbos, you say Kiddush, you're saying a bracha. I mean, I wish I was in this place. Maybe in the Sfusa of the people here, I'll get there. But when you're yearning, so he says, you say this bracha, you get to a place where you're completely nullified to Hashem. He says, and then comes Abdallah, and you come back down. You're totally, it's supposed to be like, it's totally a different place. You're only Hashem. There's nothing else. Doesn't, you know, that's why the lesson says it's Shabbos. Part of Shabbos is dealing with thoughts. Being able to be just relaxed, tranquil, fulfill your mind, focused. That's part of what's going on. Part of what's going on Shabbos. The person just, if we hold on to that, we're okay. Keep getting hit. The branch keeps getting hit. I have to just use the hit to let the fire in, not the hit to like the Zohar. That's what brings the Zohar also. Let the fire in. Make ourselves more able to take in the light, not to become complaining, angry, not to be burnt, feel burnt by it. I'm trying to just thank you, Hashem. I'm doing my best and further. So that's the first thing. That's Thursday night. After you're ready to go to sleep, basically, you're ready to sit. That's what you do. All you need to do is take the world of action, bring it to the world of kavana, take the world of kavana, bring it to the world of tshuva, take the world of tshuva, bring it to the world of there's nothing but Hashem. Pretty simple. Straightforward. How in the world do we do this? Like again, when we learn about it and we yearn for it, Rav Nachman says, if you learn about something and you yearn for it, you're going to get it. You're going to get there. Guaranteed. He said, now sometimes we find people that yearn for it and wanted it and didn't get it. Didn't get it. This guy didn't. He wanted to learn the whole Shas and know it by heart. Well, he just didn't quite make it. He wanted to change his anger around. Well, not exactly. It didn't happen. So sometimes there's an aspect where a person cannot do more. I can't do more. I can't do better. I'm doing my best and that's it. I'm working on it. So then he gets the dividends when he leaves the world. He leaves the world, everything is 100%. Me'ah. That's the statement of the... it's like this beginning of the Nashim Shanim. It's also, that's the Zohar there as well. The different places where they go. And it says, oh, and they do not go to Gehenna at all. They just go straight. Let them in. They're doing what they should be doing. Men have a harder time. That's what the Mukhi Yosef says. Someone asked the Mukhi Yosef, the Chidel brings this. He says, unfortunately, he has a Yortzeit for his father and mother, consecutive Yortzeits. One passed away one day, and the next day, Nebuch. She said, you know, the custom in our community is to fast for Yortzeits. I can't fast 2 days in a row. Who do I fast for, mom or dad? He said, dad! What's mom? What's the big deal? Dad is like Torah learning all the time. He connects to Hashem, and if not, who knows where he is in the perfect purity. I mean, he's got problems. He's got Torah's truths. Who knows what he went through and when he's got our kicks. Mom, what's the big deal? I mean, she's a good Jewish woman. What's the problem? That's the exact opposite. So, well, you know, he needs help. The husband, the father needs help. Never. We need help. Let's start turning to Hashem asking for help. It's not a joke. It's really not that simple. All right.
My wife tells me, she says, why aren't you helping me make my Shabbos? I said, what am I doing? I'm out of your way. You're cooking and singing and everything. And I'm like, I'm in the paper. I'm not bothering you. I'm not. She says, that's just it. She says, you can clean the house. You can do these things. Then I would feel better. That would even bring me up higher.
Uh-huh.
You're doing something for us, for Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So that's a very important lesson.
For sure. Especially, like I said, the Ramak says, when you're cleaning, you're really cleaning. You're supposed to be cleaning inside. It's not just cleaning. You're supposed to be setting yourself in order, working things out. It's not just cleaning. That's what we're supposed to be. At the very least, we should be thinking, like I said, a chesed for the family. It's a Torah commandment. When we're cleaning. And certainly for Shabbos, it's like the biggest thing, preparing for Shabbos. Preparing for Hashem to come to the house.
To get reminders.
Absolutely. We always get them. They always come. But like Ramnasan says, generally speaking, you get it even in this lifetime, he says. You'll get what you want. If you want to get the life of Shabbos, you want to pick up the different worlds we're learning about, we're trying for, so you'll get it. I mean, that's what the Baal HaTanya is. Someone went to the Baal HaTanya. He said, your chassidim are all fakers. Every one of them. They're all fakers, bluffers. They talk about these sublime concepts. I mean, I know these guys. Come on. They're not holding by it. I'm sorry. Please don't take offense. They're just not there. So, I mean, come on. What's the point? Who are they trying to fool? So the Baal HaTanya says, you're right. And they're going to be punished, just like we find in the Mishnah Peah. The Mishnah Peah says, if a person collects money pretending to be blind or lame or deaf, he will not die without getting what he claimed he was. So they'll get the same punishment. You're right. They're not there, but they will get there. They'll get there. Just talk about it. Talk about it. You'll get it. So the same thing that said to Nassim. Generally speaking, he said, if you don't get it, you'll get it anyway. If you left here with, he said there were people in Brest, it's in the Sikh 7 Kodesh, where Bender also talked about these different people who seem to be very simple people. Shoemaker, tailor, and all. You say, oh, he's doing this as well as he's trying. Is he holier than anybody else? No, regular guy. Totally regular guy. No one's giving shishi and shul, not very learned, and not the really scholars of tzaddik either. So it comes time for him to leave the world, and he goes, and the Chevra Kadisha say, who was this guy? He went like the biggest Rebbe. How did that happen? How did that happen? It doesn't make any sense. Since it's time to, now you see where he really is. He didn't get it when he lived, but now you see all that photos, all that work. Now is when it's starting to get there. Not without. It's going to happen. It's going to be. So that's part of also where we're trying to connect and get to a place where Shabbos will be contagious. We stole with Shabbos, we'll give it to other people. See, I'll finish mine. That's the goal. That's Thursday night. So then you go back down. No problem. Now you're one with Hashem. You go from one with Hashem down to making your tshuva more meaningful, down to making your kavanah better, down to making your actions better. That's two kavanahs. This is to think the Shemus.
How can you do the kavanahs without doing tshuva?
It's easy. He's not doing it right though. But it's easy, no problem. What do you mean? Depends. Rav Moshe would say, he said, if you manage to do the kavanos without doing tshuva, he said, it's not good. Don't do them. Don't do them. They're supposed to bring you the tshuva, that's the purpose. Not, you know, we didn't, I sort of skipped. It's too shameless. It's not going to, we can do it, but it's not. It's supposed to. That's the idea. It's supposed to. It's a portal, it's a gateway. You go in, go somewhere. If you're open. A portal. The Shemus, when you see a Shem Hashem, it's supposed to be a portal to tshuva. That's why whenever we do, I try to explain what the Shem is when I was taught or what I've seen. So So you get a little like, what am I supposed to be thinking about? Not just the letters, but really you're supposed to get to a place where it shines into you. But I don't know, like we're sort of, we're doing this, we're mostly, I think, focusing more on, could be a little bit the davening, we'll do, focus more on the shameless, but right now when we're talking about the mitzvahs, we're trying to focus on what we're really supposed to do more than this shame and that shame and the other shame right now. Well, we do the, when we do mitzvah David, that's what he says, when we do mitzvah David, if we do tefillah, so then it's a lot of shameless. That's the main content of the Kavanah, so we'll learn the shame, and we'll talk about the shame. But if not, I figure we'll just, what are we trying to do? That's what we're trying to do, bring down from Asiyas to Bria, and then that should connect to our Kavanah and also our actions. He said, why do we have this kavanah? Why do we have those kavanah stories at night? He said, because it says to prepare. It says prepare. Okay. I'm going to shut the bar in a second. 400 times. Also, I'm teaching not be mad for this. Business could be afterwards. It's not a closed business. For sure. This business could be afterwards. For sure. Okay, so the idiom is like this. It says, you're supposed to prepare on Friday for Shabbos. This is part of preparation. And we're supposed to see ourselves ascending and going up because that's what Shabbos is. Four times already? Wow. Okay. I gotta go back. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is picking ourselves up, picking up all the worlds, everything. Everything goes up on Shabbos. Everything. We don't even understand what that means. What does that mean? It's like I'm the next world. In Lava, not here, I'm the next world. What does that mean? You know? Everything is Shabbos, it's all Shabbos. Everything. That's the Zvila Rebbe. I don't know if I really spoke about it, I don't remember. The Zvila Rebbe, very, very intense before making Kiddush. Very, very focused for the right making Kiddush. He says, the Gemara says, why? I asked him, why are you so? You're so focused. Very often he's focused. He's very into, he's a very big pretender, the Zohar Rebbe. He's an incredible pretender. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He came to Eretz Yisrael on a ship. He told his son, oh, Sabra Bonis, I'm the big Rebbe in Poland. Everyone knows who I am. The Tzadik Tzadik. See the sea? I'm just a regular guy from Seville now. It's over. I'm done. I'm free of this. Free. Free. Broke free. Goes to Seville. 6 months after he's there, Yosef Chaim Zonnertel, the rabbi of Yerushalayim, gets a wire or a transfer or whatever they get, money wire, whatever it was, or a large sum of money gets sent for the Rebbe of Seville. Yerushalayim, the old city. Who is the Rebbe of Seville? You know who he is. Okay, puts it aside. I don't know. Very strange. He hasn't come yet. No doubt. Don't know. 2 years later, this guy comes from Seville. And he says, you know, talks to people here and there. He says, oh yeah, this guy on the corner, he's learning 2 years very intensely. He says, diligently learning with his son. He's a Jew from Seville. So he's exchanging in news, tell people. There were no telephones, no way to know. No way to know what's going on in the world. You're to death, you're a little Dr. Hain, you know, who's alive, who's where, what's, who married who, what happened to people. So as he approaches, he's looking and he can't believe his eyes. It's the Rebbe of Seville, some Jew from Seville. Anyway, so he was very, very into someone said, I want to write like kind of candles with you. So what's the big deal? He went after my one step, made the bracha, lit the candles. So he's just not showing me anything. He's hiding. He's just not showing. He's not showing me anything. It makes it so simple. But Kiddush, he just couldn't hold that. Hold back. Just fire. Fire. On fire. 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 So what happened with Kiddush? What happened? What happened? Why are you so on fire with Kiddush? It's like so intense. Since the Gemara says, the person makes Kiddush on wine, he becomes as if he's a partner in creation. the partner gets to make executive decisions. You have a certain power. So you don't think that you need to focus on that before? I mean, I don't understand how people just make kiddush. How do you just shoot it off without living, without thinking, without... I don't know how you do it. I can't understand it. It's beyond me. How do you think? I don't know. So that's the preparation. Thursday is a preparation for Shabbos. We have to be prepared. We have to see what's going on. What gifts are we getting on Shabbos? What's happening on Shabbos? We don't know. We have no idea. He said, if you focus on this kavanah now, it's much easier to take Shabbos in the way you should. It's much easier to really feel it, really get to it.
This is Kiddush, or this is Thursday?
Thursday night. But Kiddush, for sure. You can always, always jump on. You can always jump on. You don't have to feel like, it's kind of, step by step. You say, well, my Meyer Shabbos wasn't great. Kiddush, I can't, right? Because it's the third of the... The bochin of what you built before. I didn't build anything. I sort of dumb. And I mean, I was making sandcastles. I didn't see anything. I don't remember anything. I must have said the words. So you can always go back and just reignite, restore what was lost. Up to us. We just want it. We can just get it back. It's never too late. That's one of the big. That's a lesson. A big lesson. He said, the Rebbe says you get this through Hanukkah. It says a few places. Pesach, for much of Pesach. He said, well, you say it wasn't so good? Okay, excuse the place, now is the time to rejoice. Now he just didn't, no problem. Don't feel like it's over. It's not over, you're just starting. Start, you'll get exactly where you need to go. Just grab hold, just do it. Alright. So then you say, the sukkah you say for Krishna Amita, you finish Krishna Amita, and you go to sleep. So that's the first Rimon. Of Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. So I guess we'll stop here, and I guess we'll be pathway to joy.